Well, hello. This good day to you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again. And I'm happy that you've joined in and you done it because you wanted to, not because you have to. Nobody twisting your arm or holding a gun to your head to listen to this and to study God's Word. You're doing it because you love the Lord and you want to know about God's Word and want to know about truth. And that's what the Lord admires about you. And so do I. And don't you doubt it either. And don't let the devil convince you that your labor is not in vain, is in vain with the Lord, because it's not. The Lord keeps accurate records, and he's keeping records of things, and you can be sure of that. There are books in heaven, and the Lord used books all down through history, and everything the Lord has, he's having things recorded and written down. And you can be sure that the Lord knows what you're doing and why you're doing it. There are people that listen to the Word of God. The Bible tells us that there are people that listen to the Word of God and even preach the Word of God out of contempt. They preach the opposite reasons of magnifying the Lord. They do it to cause trouble to the Christians and cause problems and things like that. Well, let's don't let that be us. Let's love the Lord with sincerity and with truth. And I welcome you today. Today we're going to try to finish up this study of separation, study number 19, the letter S. And maybe we will, maybe we won't, but one thing I remember that I need to remind myself of, or I did remind myself of, is that I forgot to give you the scriptures for last time. And you were probably sitting there thinking, wondering whether I had enough mind in me to remember that. Well, it's because I have one of these little yellow notes that I wrote it, and it's been sitting here on my desk. I put it right in front of me. That's why I remembered it. So let me give you these scriptures right quick. And then we'll go on into our study and try to finish up this matter of separation. We've studied quite a bit on separation, and I hope that you've accepted what God has said about this. There's no confusion in the matter. We've been over it and been over it pretty simple, and just as simple as the Bible can give it to, or will give it to us, and we believe it. So now all we have to do is exercise it, and we're going to have to fight the enemy to do it. And that's okay, because if you don't do it, you're going to have to fight the enemy anyway. So we're going to do it because our Lord instructs us to do it, and he cares about us. And the reason he has us to do things and tells us about things like this and this matter is because he loves us and cares for us, and he wants the best for us. You see, our Lord doesn't need to be any better. It's not going to make God any better or any worse if we obey him or don't obey him. He's God. But the Lord does things to help us, and we need to take note of that. Sometimes it's not easy to obey the Lord in some matters. The Bible calls fiery trials that we go through, and sometimes it's not easy to obey the Lord in fiery trials in the midst of them because we want out. Now, I don't like pain. I don't know about you, but I don't like pain. I don't like mental stress either. I ought to be used to that by now, but all of us. But that's okay. You know, we're gonna get through this, and we're waiting on our Lord to come back. And the signs of the times are all ready and out there and showing us to our face what's going on. And we just keep looking at God's beauty and his creation out there and try to keep our minds on the things that are right. And one thing that helps us to do that, the main thing that helps us to do that is being in God's Word. Being in God's Word. You don't think, you might, the devil always trying to tell you that this ain't doing no good and it don't make any difference to you and everything else, but he's a liar because it does. It might seem like you're studying something completely different than you're having a problem with, but the scriptures are the scriptures, and they liveth and abideth forever. And they have power, and God the Holy Ghost uses those scriptures to help you daily. So here's the scriptures. You ready? We talked about separation in close partnerships, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. We talked about separation in religious matters, which we spoke of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, and then Amos chapter 3, verse 3. And then 2 John 9 and 10. You ain't never done that, have you? Called a chapter in one of the Johns? Yes, you have. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. And those were the ones that we used on our last recording. So moving right into our new one, or our last recording, let's recap just a little bit. And in the study of separation, we discussed exactly what is meant by separation in the Scriptures. And we found out that separation and sanctification and holiness and saints and these words that are used in the Scriptures are basically kin to each other, which means set apart. God set Israel apart. He, all down through history, you can see in the Scriptures where when the Lord does something, He sets it apart from something else. And we have been set apart. The church has been set apart, not like Israel was, but we've been set apart. And when it comes to this separation matter of us living on the earth and being in the world but not of the world, the Lord has a plan and a, how do I want to put this? He has His word. He has our notes. He has our, we look into the word to find out how and to avoid some problems and how to, not be influenced by evil and not this, just all the instruction that we look for in God's word, and God gives it to us like that. We talked about positional separation, as far as separation being in two different aspects. Your position in the Lord is set. You can't do nothing to change that, and I don't know anybody that would be stupid enough to want to change it. You are born again. You've accepted the Lord as your Savior, and you meant it when you did it, and the Lord saved you at that very second for eternity. You're not going to get lost anytime in the future. You're not going to, and no matter what you do, you cannot lose your salvation once the Lord has given it to you. And once you're birthed into the family of God, you cannot be unbirthed, or cast out, or however you want to say that, kicked out. You can't be kicked out. It's for eternity. People forget these words that the Lord uses. That's why it's so important for us to look into the Word of God and see what words God uses. Eternity means eternity. It don't mean time. It means eternity. Being born again. And the Bible said everlasting life. Forever. Now where are you going to get a stopping point in any of that? You're not. Your position in the Lord, as far as being separate and separation, you have been separated unto God for eternity. No matter what's going on while you're in the body, that's a whole different situation. That's practical separation. The Lord didn't decide. The Lord decided that He didn't want to take us home right when He saved us and snatch us out of the body and let that body go back down into the earth and take us out. He decided to leave us in the body until the Lord Jesus Christ comes on the second advent, the rapture, that is, to come and get us. But as far as your position, it's set. You don't ever have to worry about that again. But now, this practical matter, as far as practicing separation while you're in the body, it's got a lot of good reasons of why the Lord left us instructions of how important it is. Because you have enemies. Enemies to your faith that want to destroy you and destroy your faith and destroy the Word of God and literal enemies to the Word of God and literal enemies to His to the church, literal enemies to your faith. The Bible teaches us about that stuff. And that's why we have practical separation. Now, as a Christian, I'm to live being set apart. It's not a suggestion. It's an order. The Lord Jesus Christ ordered us to be set apart. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Come out from among them and be ye separate. and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The Lord's already received us. We're born again. We're in His family. You remember whenever you lived at home as a child and everything else? I mean, that was way back in before the world got in this unified thing to where everybody come together. It used to be where your mom and daddy would tell you, now, you stay away from that house right over there. You stay away from that house. We don't want to associate with them. Them people are doing some bad things over there. You stay away from there. And separated you. You remember that, don't you? It might not have been that particular thing, but your mom and daddy was interested in setting up some rules about you being separate from certain things because they cared about you. And they were mama and daddy, and they gave the instructions. Well, it's not much different with the Lord. He's our heavenly Father, and He takes His fatherhood very seriously with us. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son with whom He has to do. So, practical separation. The Lord doesn't suggest to us about that. He instructs us to do it, and it ain't easy. Because you're tempted every time your eyes open in the morning, from the time they go to bed, you're tempted somehow, some way to join in. They're written all over the billboards, all over the signs of the roads. People, you see it in society of people trying to come together and all the races mixing and all this, that, and the other and everything coming together, coming together, coming together. That's not God's plan and it's not truth. It's the world. And the Bible says that there's two sides of the coin. One side of the coin is to be separated to the Lord. Another side of the coin is to be separated away from ungodliness. God's plan is for you to get away and get out of the mud, get out of the mud hole. He's cleaned you up and sanctified you, and you're born again. And as far as God is concerned, you're holy. But as far as that flesh that you're still wearing, God will tear your hind end up for messing around and being filthy. He'll make you take. He'll make you clean up, being separate. But He says you can avoid all that if you follow instructions as a good son or a good daughter. And that's what you're doing right now. You're listening to God's Word to learn what God's will is, and then you exercise it and just simply incorporate it into your walk with the Lord. And you learn. That's what we do. We learn, and we practice separation. There's some things when it comes to separation that a Christian ought to automatically, even as a babe in Christ, ought to automatically know what to be separate from. And those are those things that every Christian that's born again could probably give you a testimony, and you might be able to share some right now, of things that just kind of fell off of you when you got saved. And then there's some things that take time to get separated from. But God the Holy Ghost is faithful, and He does. He gets us away from these things and helps us. But we're not to be stubborn and foolish and rebellious. And why would we want to be when God's trying to help us and clean the filth off of us so we'll be better and we'll be healthier and we'll be able to do the things that are pleasing in His sight? We talked about what's the basis for practical separation. We said that God's nature was that redemption is a basis for salvation or separation, and regeneration is a basis for separation. We also talked about God's Word being a basis for separation. It instructs us to be separate from some things. And some things, it's very to the point. Thou shalt not. Okay? And some things, Paul mentioned that he spoke as a suggestion rather than spoke by permission rather than commandment, you see. And some things are suggested to us. Well, I mean, if our Heavenly Father wants to suggest something, if he looked at you and he said, listen, daughter, listen, son, I'm not going to command you this, but if it was me, I suggest Now, if God told you that in that way and suggested something to you, you wouldn't have any doubt about pleasing God and wanting to accept that suggestion and do what God said he'd do, right? Right. So, the Bible says pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So when that pride steps in, we can tell when that pride steps in, one of the first things that's going to start taking away our separation or start eating away at our separation or bothering us or trying to get us away or to stop separating is pride. Pride and guilt. And the devil uses both of them. And so does our flesh. And so does this world. You think you're better than everybody else, don't you? You're very separated and won't never do this and won't never do that and won't never come to parties and won't never do that and blah, blah, blah. And even if they knew what the truth was that the Scripture says, it wouldn't matter to them. They're still going to point the finger and they're going to gripe at you for it. That's not the idea of why we do what we do. We do what we do to be pleasing unto the Lord and to obey our Lord, because we know if we obey Him that things are going to be good for us. Do you trust the world? And do you trust your flesh? Well, here's another one. Do you trust the devil? Of course not. A person would be a fool to trust those three things. You see what it's doing to everybody else in the world, don't you? You see what it did to you before the Lord pulled you out. So don't get back in the muck. Separation from the world we talked about. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we went over some things with that. Then we got into talking about some areas of personal separation. And we got just a little bit more personal with our personal separation, talking about the things that my eyes look at, like attending movies and that television and books and magazines and the things that go into your eyes. You say, well, Brother Thurman, that don't make no difference just because you see something. Oh, yes, it does. The Bible says in Lamentations, mine eye affecteth my heart. And the Bible says to keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So what goes into your eyes goes into your heart. And if you let some bad stuff go in there, then you're going to have to condition your heart. Whatever bad goes in, you're going to have to fight to get it out. And you got enough. The Bible says sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't add to the stuff that you're going to have to clean up. Stay clean about the things that you've already cleaned up. Don't get back in the muck. Some people reaching down, grabbing a handful of mud, being out of the mud, reach down, grab some mud, and rub it all over them. Attending movies. We talked about that. Watching television. Now, you can't say that Hollywood and everybody else is putting out good stuff and genuine stuff. Walt Disney used to be somebody you could trust to sit down with your kids with. Would you trust them now? Man, I've seen some cartoon Walt Disney women in such a way that it looked like a stinking penthouse or a Playboy book. That it should have been in a penthouse or a Playboy. Now, I'm talking about a Walt Disney character. Yeah. You better watch out what you're letting go in your children's eyes. The Lord said eyes. He didn't say whose eyes. It's everybody's eyes, especially a Christian. The world, it's already in their heart. Your heart's supposed to stay cleaned up, and you're supposed to let God the Holy Ghost have control of that thing. The places that I let myself go. Nobody forces you and ties you down to places you go. You go by because you want to. The things that I wear. We talked about how we dress. How we dress. There's a lot of people out here now. Some Christians have said to me. I remember one woman that I knew, a sister, and I remember she was taking care of her mama, and I got to spend some time in a ministry with her and her mother. And I remember some things that she said about her mother. Now, her mother was a godly woman, still is. She's 96 years old now, I think. And she was one of the most godly women I've ever met. Matter of fact, that's where I got my vision about what the Bible says about a godly woman that means business about serving God and tries to be pleasing to the Lord. I was in the kitchen one time praising the Lord about something that had happened about that ministry, and she come walking in, and she was about, I think about 88, 89 then. She come walking in with her walker, and it was right at that time I was praising the Lord about something that was going on with the ministry that the Lord had done, and she pushed that walker out of the way, and she got down on the floor on her face and glorified God over that. That's where I learned how to worship. To really worship God. Not by watching somebody do it and practicing some kind of theatrical garbage. I'm talking about the joy in your heart to where you're so thankful to the Lord that it takes you to your face and your knees. That's where I learned. But I remember one thing that her daughter used to say about her, and she would tell her, I just want to be, her mama would call her and say, you're such an angel, thank you for helping me and taking care of me. And she'd say, well, I just want to be like you. I just want to be like you. And then one time, later on in time, I heard her also say that she was trying to make an excuse for something that her mother did. As far as being a Christian woman, she behaved in a certain way over this matter. And her daughter spoke up and said, well, she's kind of old-fashioned, and made excuse for her separation. She's kind of old-fashioned. You know one thing I loved about that woman, and I still do to today and respect it, is her unchanging old-fashioned ways. And she's 96 now, 96. The Lord just has let her stay down here for a long, long time. But she is a genuine Christian, unchanging, old-fashioned. And what we're talking about is the things that I wear. A lot of people are going to tell you that's old-fashioned, or this is old-fashioned, old-fashioned. You're not out to impress the world. You're not out to impress. Now, we are to be lights to the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The things about our dress, when people look at us, should turn their faces toward God and say, praise the Lord for that person. That was one thing that I praised the Lord for this woman about, was her unchanging ways, even though society and the world and everybody else is going to another fashion, going to another fashion, going to another fashion. The fashion of this world passeth away. But she didn't change because it was in her heart. She could have changed any time she wanted to, and nobody have anything to say about it. But her daughter spoke up because she was embarrassed over her mother's old-fashioned ways and thought she needed to make an excuse for it. I was embarrassed for her because it was ignorant. She shouldn't have said nothing but just praise God over that. She wants to be like her, huh? Yeah. Well, see, we're to do things as far as our dress, as far as our speech, and the things that we watch with our eyes, the things that we let go in our eyes, and the things that we say. How you talk with your mouth. The words that you use. The Lord says that they're to minister grace unto the hearers. Now, a lot of times you children, you have to minister that grace in a different tone of voice, don't you? And the Lord allots for that. He's not talking about you walk around and use a real nice, soft voice all the time and all that kind of stuff. We're to live life, but when we talk to people, they know that the words coming out of our mouth are genuine and they're true, and they don't think you're a hypocrite after you get finished talking. They want to hear, they're willing to hear something else that you say because of the grace that it ministers to them to have conversation with you. The words that we use. We got to be careful about that. The people I associate with. Now that's getting more to the point about separation when it comes to this world now. The people I associate with. Yes, you're supposed to stay away from certain people. Yeah. That's what the Bible teaches. And not only the world and the ungodly and the people that hate God, but you're supposed to stay away from some Christians that are misbehaving. Yeah. And not because you're trying to be a smart aleck or anything like that, because you're obeying God, number one. There shouldn't be any excuse or any kind of reasoning or backtalk with the Lord. How many times you get slapped in the mouth for backtalking? We did around our house. And people ought to today. There's some kids that need a good slap in the mouth for all that backtalk. No respect today. I was sitting out, me and a couple guys, and we was having a picnic at the ministry, and we invited the families to come in, and I knew this family, and I knew their children, and their children were taking advantage of this law thing to where they can talk any way to their mother that they want to, and their mother can't slap them, or can't do nothing like that. It's abuse. You abuse them now. Instead of correction, like God says. Well, that didn't happen around my house. But he looked at his mama, and he said something that was the ugliest thing that I ever heard. He was about 10, 11 years old, and turned around and told his mama to shut up and said something smart-aleck to her. And she couldn't do nothing, but she was a red face because there was three or four of us sitting around there. And I stood up right quick, and I told him, I said, "You don't talk to your mama while you on this property like that. You hear?" And he started to smart off to me, and I said, "Get out of here. You're not welcome here anymore. Get." And he turned around and started walking away. I kicked him in the hind end. He went down the hill screaming. I could hear him screaming in the other building when he went down there. But when he got ready to leave, him and his family was leaving. His mom and dad didn't say nothing to me. They knew me. But they were leaving. And he come walking up there, and he started to walk past me, and he was giving me the eyes, you know. He was kind of respectful eyes, you know. And I looked over at him, and I said, "Me and you still friends?" He shook his head, yeah, and I gave him a hug. And we're still friends today. But the people I associate with. Now, you let that boy grow up and being able to say anything he wants to say, who you think he's going to hang around? What kind of people he going to be around? If he ain't got no kind of sense of restriction in his mouth and the words that he uses and the people he hangs around, what kind of people you think he's going to hang around? Some just like him. And the same thing with you. That's why our Heavenly Father tells us to be separate. And ain't because we think we're more special than anybody. They're welcome to join us anytime, right? It ain't like that. Come on over here on this side. No, I don't want none of that God stuff. Then shut up and get away. Because if you don't want God, then I don't need you. Yeah. You don't get in the mud to get people out of the mud. And you ought to be so scared of the mud by now that God's pulled you out and saved you from. You ought to be so scared and cautious about the mud now you don't go 10 miles from around it. And you don't even go in that direction anymore. If the Lord's taught you, then you ought to know better. And if you know better, you ought to do better. Separation in close partnerships we talked about. And that was the last recording that we talked about, remember? Separation in close partnerships, and we also talked about separation in religious matters. None of this theatrical kind of stuff. None of this fakey, Pharisaical, Sadduceical gobbledygook that they call church now. I'm talking about genuine service and commitment and appreciation of a God that's done, of a good, wonderful God that has adopted us into his family and cares very much for us and proves it every day. Having your allegiance set to him, set toward him. You are faithful to him. He's done very kind things for you, and you want to return kindness back to him. The Lord's done such beautiful, wonderful things for me, and I'm not the only one. I know you listening right there. He's done wonderful things for you that you can think of right this very minute and that you owe him for, but he ain't charging you. So you know what that ought to make us feel like? It ought to make us feel like, you know, my devotion is to him. Because when I was at my very worst, he was his very kindest to me. And done some things to where some jaw-dropping things for me. To where I said, Lord, I mean, it just makes you start crying. Now, how ashamed you are of yourself and who you are. Not what you've done, who you are. You don't go to hell for what you've done. You go to hell because of who you are. You're a sinner. You are cursed with a curse. And if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to end up in hell no matter what you've done. Period. That's what the Bible says. So now let's go into the very last part of this study. The first thing we're going to talk about is three excuses that Christians often use for not living separated lives. And we've probably already been over it with this introduction, but let's talk about them anyway. The first thing is this. Other Christians don't have your standards. You hear that? You ever heard that? Well, other Christians don't have your standards. Well, she's just old-fashioned. Oh, wait just a minute. Wait, let's stop right there. You know, it's true that many Christians see nothing wrong with rock music and worldly fashions and questionable amusements. But that doesn't make them right. The Lord said, do what's right. To do what's right. You know, we need to study the Bible, and that's what you're doing right now, and form Bible-based convictions. Because you can get any kind of conviction you want to get out of the world and out of the devil and out of your flesh. Your flesh will lead you away from God faster than a bullet. It don't get to talk. I have to get up and step on my flesh's neck every day and say, you don't get to talk today. And so do you. But Bible-based convictions. And then live by them. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen, when it comes to Christians, the Lord didn't set up standards for different Christians. There's not one standard over here and one standard over here. When the Bible talks about Christians in the family of God, it talks about three different kinds of Christians. Let me read the verse to you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. I write unto you little children, that's one kind of Christian, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you fathers, there's another kind of Christian, called an elder in another place, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, there's another kind of Christian, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, there he goes again, because ye have known the Father. I write unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Did you see anything in that verse right there that I just read? There's three different kinds of Christians, and they all three are the same, and the only thing that made them different was one of them was a little child, a babe, the Bible calls it, that's just got saved and doesn't know a whole lot in the Lord yet. Then there's the young men, where you've already grown some in the Lord and you start to grow, where you start to do battle with the enemy and you start to fight the good fight of faith. And then there's the fathers, the elders, the ones that's been fighting a good fight of faith and have finished their course, the Bible says. They've not turned away from the Lord. They stayed in the fight and honored the Lord and was devoted to the Lord, and their allegiance was to the Lord, and they meant business, and they was telling the truth and wasn't putting on a stinking show. And then we talk about this three excuses Christians often use for living separated lives, and that first one being other Christians don't have your standards. I didn't see no standards in that verse. The only thing I seen was different degrees of growth in your Christianity. He named three different Christians in there, and they all are in the same family. Ain't got nothing to do with standards. Every Christian is supposed to have the same standard, and that's the Word of God. So nobody has a license to say anything about a standard if it don't line up with the book. And if you're lining up with the book, brothers and sisters, don't worry about the idiots that are trying to make excuse with that kind of garbage coming out of their mouth about having standards. Christians are supposed to have all the standards. And if one is mistaken about a standard, what's the Bible teach us? It teaches us not to say every Christian don't have your standards and give them an opportunity to trip and fall. We're to give up what we think and save their faith. Isn't that what it says? Yeah. So that's a stupid excuse. Every Christian don't have your standards. Listen to what James says in chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him to knoweth to do good and doeth it not, yeah, to him it is sin. Other Christians don't have your standards. That's an excuse. And it's an ignorant one. That shouldn't come out of a Christian's mouth. You know what? If you look at another Christian and you see something that's beautiful about their Christianity, it ought to encourage you to be like that rather than fighting with them about them being different. A Christian ought to, when you look at another Christian that's living for the Lord, I mean, there's been some Christians that I just want to be so much like, because not be like them as their person, but be like them, like the light of Jesus Christ, God the Holy Ghost, shining off of them. You know? There's another one. Here's the second one. The most important thing is to win souls, and to do this, I have to be acceptable to the lost. Really? That's why you go in the bars? Really, really? That's why you wear all that jewelry and the earrings and have green and red hair and all that stuff? Really, really? That's why you listen to that Christian rock and all that stuff? Really, really? The most important thing is to win souls. Okay, how many have you won? Well, that's an excuse. If you're interested in winning souls and you're sincere about winning souls, you'll want to look and be and smell and dress and everything else just like Jesus Christ. So when them people look at you, you have all the authority of God the Holy Ghost and the Word of God to be able to say what the truth is and them believe you. You go walking up to somebody's door and try to lead them to Jesus Christ with green and purple hair and a bunch of chains hanging around your neck and some torn up breeches on. If you opened your door to that and they wanted to talk to you about God and getting saved. I ain't never seen nobody dressed like that or behaving like that or living a lifestyle like that, a Christian, that even went soul winning. All I see is people that are living under this ignorant excuse. I've seen them trying to drag other Christians into that garbage rather than letting them be content in the way God the Holy Ghost has told them what is right. But you see what I'm saying? No. You need to be acceptable to the Lord. It is never right to do wrong in order to accomplish right. Did you get that? It's never right to do wrong in order to accomplish right. I think Bob Jones Sr. said that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Not when you get up to the edge of evil and you're right next to it. It said, as far as you can see, whatever it appears like, if it appears like evil, get away from it and stay away from it. Separate. Abstain. What's abstain? It's not yes and it's not no. It's that I ain't having nothing to do with it. Abstain from all. How much? All of it. All appearance of evil. If it appears to be evil, the Lord said, don't go check it out and see if it's evil. Get away from it if it appears to be evil. Now, you know what that's called in the Bible? It's called judging. You have to judge to see if something's evil, don't you? To see if it appears to be evil. And the Lord said right there, he commanded us, not suggestion, abstain from all appearance of evil. So that don't jive either. The most important thing is to win souls, and to do this, I have to be acceptable to the lost. Okay, when's the last time you went soul winning? Okay. We know what you're about. And another one here. We're talking about three excuses Christians use for not living separated lives. And so far, we've come across nothing but worldly, selfish excuses of Christians that just want to make excuses. They want to make excuses, all right, but excuses for their own lives. You see, because sin lieth at the door. Another one's this. I have liberty in Christ. Yes, you do. Aren't you thankful? Don't you want to live the most holy life, that be ye holy, for I am holy? For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Aren't you so thankful for that, that you have liberty, that you just want to be as clean and holy as you possibly can for your Savior? I have liberty in Christ. I can do what I want to do. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that you do have liberty in Christ, and you're to exercise it, and you're to enjoy it. It's true, but liberty is not license. Liberty don't give you a license to do wrong. Liberty is freedom to do right. You have liberty. That don't mean that you're free to go sin now and get away with it, because you ain't going to get away with it. Your Heavenly Father gets that belt out, you're going to wish you'd never had anything to do with it, because he will tear your hind end up. And you know what you do after he gets you whooping? You'll thank him for it. He's wonderful. He is. But once you go through some of his chastening classes, you don't ever want to go through that class again. Most of the elders I've ever talked to have told me, I don't want to go through that class again. I don't want God to whoop me. If you know anything about getting a whooping from God, you agree with what I just said. If you don't know anything, you better listen. True, but liberty is not a license. Liberty is freedom to do right, never freedom to do anything. I have liberty in Christ. We are not to use our liberty for an occasion to the what? What's Galatians 5:13 says? It says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." You never have the right to do wrong. You are free. Jesus has made you free. You're on your way to heaven. Your sins have been forgiven you. Now you have the liberty to do right and to be a Christian and to follow Christ and to invite others to come with you. Not to get involved in the world and the flesh and the bars and the whores and the dope and all that kind of stuff and the drinking and all the horse play and blabbity blabbity blab blab blab. There's another one. Our liberty is not to be, I have liberty in Christ. And another thing that is talked about in it is our liberty is not to be used as an excuse for enslaving habits. In other words, if you got a sin problem in your life, it's taken you a long time to get rid of. You're not to use your liberty as an excuse to keep it in your life. You're to fight it and get it out of your life. Clean it up. And if you need some brothers and sisters to help you, get them. We are a family. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "All things are lawful for unto me." All things. I can do anything and everything. All things are lawful unto me. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I can do anything I want to do, but anything I want to do is sometimes not the best thing to do. If it's going to hurt another brother or make my Lord look like trash. You getting this? I have liberty in Christ. Man, bite your tongue. It should be, "Praise the Lord, I have liberty in Christ." How dare we use things like that to make excuses for the flesh and the garbage that we want to live in and the stink and the trash cans that we want to hang around in. We shouldn't do that. These are some excuses that Christians use. Have you ever heard them? I have. Might even use one sometime in the past. I'm trying to forget all that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23 says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient." In other words, just because you can doesn't mean that you ought to. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Here's another one. Liberty is not an excuse for hiding sin. It's not to be what? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, "As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." In other words, you're putting on a play, so you put on the costume. You're not to wear a Christian costume and be all muddy and tainted with garbage and the sins of the world up under your costume of Christianity. You're not supposed to do that. The Bible says we live as free and not using our liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Your freedom ought to humble you. Your freedom ought to give you joy and happiness and gladness that you're free from the Lord has taken the world's yoke off of you and put Jesus Christ's yoke on you. And his burden is easy and his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And it is. You'll know when you start going back in the world because you'll start getting a heavy load back on you. Our Christian liberty is never to be what? 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. But take heed lest any means your liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. Under no circumstances are we to use our liberty in Christ when we've grown in the Lord to cause another brother to fall and to trip and to lose his allegiance to the Lord and devotion to the Lord and become confused and go back out in the world and the devil get a hold of him. Never. So let's talk about some very last things here and close this study out here. Now, we talked about that right there, three excuses Christians use for not living separated lives. Other Christians don't have your standards. Don't let that ever come out of your mouth. Don't say stuff like that. Don't have a heart like that. The most important thing is to win souls. Make sure you've been winning souls before you say something like that. And I have liberty in Christ. Don't ever let that come out of your mouth as far as making an excuse and using the Lord's holy words and his things that he's given us for free in order to run for the devil. Phooey. All of it's foolishness. All right. Principles for living a separated life. Here's some suggestions and some things from the scriptures that'll help you live separated lives. Let's just go right down through them. Now, there's many particular activities not named specifically in the Bible, such as smoking and drugs and mixed swimming. And here's some principles or guidelines that you can use when faced with questionable practices, things that you don't know the answer to. That we're going to assume that you're sincere about it and you're not trying to find an excuse, but that you're sincere and you really want to know what God says. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not smoke. Nowhere. It don't say that. So how do you find out if it's God's will or God cares or what God thinks? By the scriptures. And here's some suggestions about that kind of stuff. God doesn't say don't take drugs. And don't say it nowhere in the Bible. But God does give us evidence that would lead us to believe that that's not something that God would be pleased with. You see, some things in the scriptures, God doesn't say directly because he expects that after we've come out of babehood and grown a little bit in the scriptures, that we start growing and we start thinking for ourselves about what God expects. It's just like growing up around your daddy. Your daddy might not have ever said, don't do this. And you're out there and you're tempted with doing it, but you say, no, I ain't doing that. Well, your dad didn't ever tell you you couldn't do that. Yeah, but my dad wouldn't approve of that. Same thing with the Lord, your heavenly Father. There's just some things that don't have to be written down. Number one, is it scriptural? Get back to the book. Check the Bible. See what the Bible says about it. If you're sincere about wanting to know, you will, first thing you'll want to know that you can go to the Bible and find out. Get in that Bible and find out what it says about it. Well, it don't say nothing about smoking. Well, does it say anything about your health? Well, does it say anything about your testimony? Does it say anything? I mean, God the Holy Ghost is faithful to answer a question that you've legitimately asked Him. And go to the Bible first. Go to God's Word first, just like you're doing right now. You're here to find out truth, to help you to live a more pleasing life and be out from under all the burdens of the world. Is it scriptural? If the Bible's against it, you're supposed to be against it. If the Bible's not spoken for or against, you're still supposed to search the Scriptures to see, to make sure that you don't embarrass the Lord. Right? Listen to this, Psalm chapter 119 and verse 15 and verse 105. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Use God's word as much as you possibly can. It'll never deceive you and never turn you in the wrong direction. And if you're sincere about it, 9 times out of 10 you're going to get a direct answer of some kind, of some sort, of some way. Don't let the devil talk you out of the Bible. Go to the Scriptures first. Another thing, can I do this in the name of the Lord? You don't need a bracelet that says, what would Jesus do? You have the Word of God. And you have God the Holy Ghost living in you. He is your teacher. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So whatever you do and whatever you in word or deed is supposed to magnify the Lord and show the Lord as a good God and a God that's loved by you. And you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And can you give thanks for it? I mean, that's a big thing. Can you give thanks for what the question is? Now, we're talking about principles for living separated lives, see. If you want to be involved in something, can you do it in Jesus' name? And can you give thanks for it? Here's another one. Will others be hindered in their salvation or spiritual growth by what I do? Am I going to hinder another Christian? Because he looks at me and he says, now, wait a minute. I wouldn't never think God would do something like that or let you do anything like that. Man, I'm getting confused here. Never confuse a Christian by your walk or hinder them or make people turn away from the Lord and salvation because of the way they see you living. Once you're born again, we're to be sacrificing. Romans chapter 14, verse 21 says, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. We're to give in to that and make sure that our brother keeps growing and our sister keeps growing in the Lord, and our sister and our brother stay in love with the Lord. Here's another one. Do I have some doubts about it? That's a big one. If you doubt it, don't. I mean, if you're wrong, you can always do it later, can't you? But if you doubt it, first thing is, don't, until you get more information. Romans chapter 14, verse 22 and 23 says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Don't be trying to impress others with your faith. Have your faith and walk your faith before God. Not, I mean, You walk before other people, but not to impress them, but to impress the Lord. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Don't ever say, don't ever get to where you have to say, I wish I hadn't have done that. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows. I wish I hadn't allowed that. I wish I hadn't have done that. Don't ever have to say that. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you doubt it and you go through with it, you went against yourself. And you're never going to be happy about that. And lastly, would what I do be acceptable to the Lord? It's just some things to think about. Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Being separated, we're talking about separation. See, that wasn't all that bad, was it? Matter of fact, it's encouraging. Because after we get done, you figured at the beginning of this, you're thinking, well, this separation thing, man, this is going to put a lot of handcuffs on me. Actually, after we get done with it, and we've already been done with it now, it kind of frees you up, don't it? Don't you feel a little bit more at peace and a little bit more weight taken off of you? It should have. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's good stuff, ain't it? Oh, God bless you. And thank you so much for doing these studies and honoring the Lord and learning his word. It's beautiful and it's encouraging and it's truth. And now you don't have to have all them questions. You know what the Lord thinks because you studied his word. You don't have to have people to verify it or not verify, blah, blah, blah. You know what God says. So let me give you these scriptures and we're going to close out this study of separation. First one is Psalm chapter 119, verse 15 and 105. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Romans chapter 14, verse 21. And Romans chapter 14, verse 22 and 23. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. James chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 and 10, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. And the last one is 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Separation. Good study, huh? Now, if you want these printed out and want them on paper to where you can look at them and study them again or have devotion with your family or whatever, all you got to do is email me and I'll get them to you, okay? Study number 19, separation. Very important in the scriptures, commanded, and God's not unfair about anything. No good thing will the Lord withhold from them that love him. So that includes separation too. God wants us to have all kinds of fellowship. But certain types of separation are priority. So let's remember that and go believing, okay? And the Lord bless you. And we're going to get into another study coming up. Let's see, QRST, T, letter T. We'll talk about that on the next recording. The Lord bless you. Have a wonderful day. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.